They have one son and one grandson. Buddy is a graduate of Henderson State University, class of 1978. He is a retired educator, having coached and taught for 40 years in Northeast Texas and Southwest Arkansas. He began preaching in 2006 and is currently the minister at the DeKalb Church of Christ in DeKalb, Texas, where he also serves as an elder. And so Buddy Ray did an excellent job this morning. We're looking forward to him speaking to us tonight. And without further ado, Brother Buddy Ray.
Good evening. Have a good crowd. It's always good to get up and see the same faces. That tells you something, that maybe you didn't lose them the first time. So it's so great to see everyone. I hope everyone's had a good afternoon. We have. And I want to tell you one thing that I'm going to put on my calendar, and we've got a couple of men from DeKalb, so they won't tell on me. I figured out today that, Kevin, if you'll go just a little bit longer on the third Sunday, that we can make it from DeKalb every third Sunday for potluck. Man, it was great. It was great. So if I can talk Kevin into going just a little bit over on that third Sunday, Sherry and I can make it back. We so appreciate the hospitality that was shown and everything that's been done so far. And remember, I told you, the success of this gospel meeting depends upon two things. It depends on me, Lord willing, showing up and preaching the gospel and being able, as I said this morning, to always give book, chapter, and verse for anything that comes from this pulpit. And it depends on all of us to be here. Remember what I said this morning. I want you to consider two things every day of your life, but also during this gospel meeting, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. For we will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. All the things that I've done in this body, whether they be good or bad, I'm going to receive recompense and my reward for those. Also, we said to think on Matthew chapter 16, verse 26. What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Lord, Jesus said, what will you give in exchange for your soul? So I invite you back at each and every opportunity you have, and we know it's going to be a success. We don't know who will be reached by this. We don't know what life will be changed many, many times. Responses and change of heart and change of life are not evident immediately, but we do know that we plant the seed and that God gives the increase. So let's pray for our meeting. I also appreciate the prayer that Ben led. I'll tell you real quickly before I start. When I was young growing up, I would always ask my dad questions going home from church. I can know now he probably got tired of that. But I asked him one night going home, Big John Cannon, Brother John, was our preacher. And I said, Daddy, why do they always get up there and they pray that he can have a ready recall of what he wants to say? And finally one night he told me, if you live long enough, you'll see. Well, I've reached that point. I appreciate the prayers that I don't forget what I want to say, and it's so good to see you tonight. What a beautiful song service this morning and tonight. I want to ask you this before we begin. Is it well with your soul? We just sang, it is well with my soul. I want to encourage you, if it's not well with your soul, if anything's troubling you, if anything stands between being right with you and your God, don't leave here tonight without making that right. And you know, the only time that you can be forgiven, the only time that you can make things right is not in a public assembly. I know that Kevin or any elder here or myself or any man in this congregation is available 24/7 whenever you need anyone. But I would encourage you, if it's not well with your soul, don't leave here tonight taking any kind of chance, and be ready to meet your God. If you brought your Bibles, turn with me to John chapter 10. John chapter 10 and John chapter 15 are probably two of my favorite chapters in the whole New Testament, because the majority of both of those chapters is Jesus Christ speaking. Go with me to verse 7. We're going to read verses 7 through 10 for the basis of our lesson tonight as we begin and we talk about the abundant life. Beginning in verse 7, it said, Jesus said to them again, most assuredly I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. But I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. I want to tell you this evening, whether I realize it each and every day of my life or not, and I stop to give the praise that's due to my God, if you're a child of God, you're living the abundant life. Jesus said he is the door. We can only enter through him. He's the Savior of the sheep. He said earlier in the chapter that he knows his sheep and they know his voice and that they follow him. I want you to do something tonight, and I challenge our congregation every so often. Go home tonight. I encourage you to write it down because you can really see it. But if you don't write it down, just put it in your mind. Name every blessing you have. You ever done that? You'll be up late. You'll be up late. But I want you to consider that. Have you recently counted your blessings? The song that we sing says, count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done. And even through the trials of this past year, through all the hardships, through the things that we've been through, I want to tell you, brethren, we are blessed. As we look around tonight and we see so many people here, some that are coming back from illnesses, some that have been away because of different things, we are blessed in so many ways. I want you to remember John chapter 10, verse 10. I've come that they may have life and have it more abundantly. I told you this morning. I want you to also mark Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. The Apostle Paul said, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I that live, but Christ that liveth in me. The life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loves me and gave himself for me. You want the abundant life? Be able to say and be able to pray what the Apostle Paul did in Galatians 2:20. What a joy it'll be to say, it's not me any longer. It's not me that's living, but it's Jesus Christ that's living inside of me. And everything I do in this body until the day I leave this earth, I'm doing by faith now. And that faith comes by hearing the word, and that faith is placed solely in Jesus Christ. You notice Paul says that I live it all by faith in the one that loves me and gave him life for me. So I want to begin here tonight. If you want to enjoy the abundant life, you need to be in Christ. We know that through scripture teaching that we are baptized into Christ. Romans chapter 6 verse 4 that says that we were buried with him through baptism into death. And just as Christ arose, we're going to rise from that watery grave and we are going to walk in a newness of life. You see, the abundant life is a new one. Isn't it great? Someone made the comment, I think it was Johnny today, and he said, you know, 30, 40 years ago, whatever, he said, I didn't think you'd ever be standing there preaching. And I said, that's the beauty of what we're preaching, that God changes lives. You see, that's what we've got to realize as we look at one another and we encourage one another as we talk this morning. God changes life, and that abundant life and all those blessings we're going to talk about tonight, both physical and spiritual, come from God. And he does that because, as we said this morning, I'm a child of God now, I'm an heir of God, and I've joined heir of Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. He says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, everything's new. Isn't that beautiful? Wouldn't it be great? I tell Sherry this on occasion. I would like one more morning. I know it's not going to happen, but I would like one more morning to wake up, get out of bed, walk to the kitchen, nothing cracked, nothing popped, and nothing hurt or be sore. I've quickly realized that's not going to happen again. But you see, no matter what age you are, no matter where you stand, or no matter what's in your past, You can turn to Jesus Christ. You can be baptized into Christ. You can become a new creation. And you can walk daily enjoying that abundant life. And that's what it's all about. Enjoying those blessings that we have in Jesus Christ. James chapter 1, verse 17 tells me that every good and every perfect gift comes down from above. It comes down from the Father, with whom there is no variation. There's no shadow of turning. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8. You see, every good thing I enjoy comes down from heaven. John said that in John chapter 3, verse 27. John answered them, and he said, a man can receive nothing unless it has been given to him from above. Who else can give you everything you need? Who else can provide all you need for godliness and righteousness? Who else can give you everything you need for this life and the life to come? So tonight, in the time that we have left, I want to consider two aspects of our life, and I want to talk for just a minute and challenge you to see the abundance that you have. The first area I want to go to is this. Quickly run through your mind and name some physical blessings. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things shall be added unto you. Now, the context of that is in earlier verses when he told me not to worry. Don't worry about what I'm going to eat. Don't worry about what I'm going to wear. Don't worry about those physical things. He said, look at the birds of the air. They fly around. It says that they do all of that. We watch the birds, how freely they fly and how they move about. And he says, he feeds them. Are you not worth more than that? Look at the lilies of the field. They spin, they toil not. But it said even Solomon wasn't arrayed more beautifully than them. But yet, they vanish away. And it says, if the Lord's going to clothe them in that way, will he not do us the same way? Sometimes we struggle with Matthew 6, 33. Seek ye first. Our lesson last Sunday morning in Bible class at DeKalb was based around priorities. It'll get you to thinking, what's number one in your life? If you were told tomorrow you're allowed to wake by God and you can do one thing and one thing only between the time you awakened and the time you go to bed on Monday night, what would you do? What would your list say is your number one priority? What would you want to accomplish? What would you want to pillow your head and say to God that I took priority number one on my list from all the things that you give me? And that's what I did today. You see, I'm told, don't worry about it. He's going to take care of me. He's going to feed me. He's going to clothe me. With these things, I should be content. But in order for him to care for me and to do those things and continue to bless me, it says, seek ye first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things shall be added unto you. One person brought up last Sunday morning, and it was so true, and it opened the discussion. She said, don't priorities change. She said, I'm guilty too. She said, when everything's going really well, sometimes it seems like I don't need God. I've got this old world by the tail, if you will. Everything's going the way I want it. And we kind of sometimes get into that deal of, I can handle this, God. I've got this. But as soon as things start turning the other way, who do we call on first? But you see, he says, in the good, in the bad, in whatever times, seek him first. I challenge you and I challenge me. If you're not already doing that, do it. And I can tell you from personal experience, and I'm sure you can, the times that we are closest to our God and the times that we are serving him faithfully and trying earnestly and diligently to do what he asks us to do, don't things seem to go better? Yeah. Seems to go better. So I encourage you, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Look at some of the physical blessings tonight. Some of the things that we might say are our health. We're blessed to have a job. We have a roof over our head. We have the food and clothing that he talked about. Most importantly, from a physical standpoint, we've got our families. It did me so good today to come and to see people I hadn't seen in a long time, and to see families that have grown and see families that I haven't seen in quite a while, but just to see the interaction of those families. And I want to tell you, I told one or two this morning, I can tell parents this, that's something I've come to realize too. If you have your children and your grandchildren in close proximity to you, you're blessed. You're blessed. When you can see a child anytime you want to, when you can see a grandchild anytime you want to, you're blessed. Don't ever take that for granted. And you see, that's the way God looks at us. We're going to talk about a minute when we talk about spiritual blessings, when he looks at us as his children. But think of all of those things from a physical standpoint that God gives to you daily. Do you appreciate them? Do you thank him for that abundant life? You know, everything that we have comes down from heaven, as John said. Everything we have that's good and that's perfect has come down from our Father. And we need to remember that. We need to appreciate that. And we need to thank him daily for that abundant life. When you think about the physical life also, falls into two things, both categories is one group, and that's us. I want you to think about the physical blessing you have of your brethren. When we begin service today, I want to ask you this. I know you can't speak out loud, you just answer to yourself. Have you ever seen a faithful gospel minister stand up in the pulpit, put on a referee's cap, and signal a touchdown? It got the same response the second time it did the first. Voices blending together in laughter. Voices blending together with something we have in common because it was done by someone we love. But I want to tell you, one of the greatest blessings we have from a physical standpoint, and we'll talk more about it in just a minute from the spiritual side, is each other. I want to tell you, I love being around people. This past year has been hard on me. Isn't it good to be back together? Kevin tried about three times to bless the food today at the potluck. He couldn't get it done because people wouldn't be quiet. You see, that fellowship, that blessing you have with one another, to be back together and to look at those people that are of like faith, to look at those people that believe the way you do, and look at those people that are on their way to heaven with you, isn't it a joy to be with them? Isn't it great that we have brothers and sisters in Christ that we can be around and we can have fun and laughter and enjoy? One thing I wanted to mention tonight, and I'm sure Kevin would tell you the same thing if there's any other preachers in the crowd, a physical blessing. I count it physical. It could be spiritual too. But I told you something this morning before we left that I meant. This morning you were such an attentive audience. I told our congregation one time, because they were kidding with me, and I told them, I said, I want you to understand this. When I'm standing up there, even though I might be talking, I can absolutely see the ones that ain't listening. And I know this beyond any doubt. Hopefully and prayerfully, you weren't listening to me this morning, but you were listening to the Word. That's the important thing. Not what I have to say, not what any man has to say. We're not here by the commandments of men, but a very physical and spiritual blessing that preachers enjoy is that audience that so attentively listens. Bible class this morning, the participation that we had. Your class may be that way every Sunday morning. I hope it is. Sometimes ours is not. I'm not saying that in a bad way, but just sometimes people don't want to interact because they're afraid they'll say something wrong. When you're talking about God's Word and you're reading from the Scripture and you're talking about our Lord and Savior, you're not going to say anything wrong. Because God is love, and that's what we talk about. And this morning we're talking about encouraging one another and helping one another to enjoy that abundant life. So I want you to realize that physically, that we have many blessings that we don't deserve. We have many things that come our way. We have many things that God gives to us that we don't deserve. I mentioned my grandfather quite a bit. He was a man that was very influential in my life. And I can always remember he'd be sitting on his porch in his swing. And you'd go out there and you'd say, "Granddad, how are you doing?" And I don't think it was ever one time he didn't take that old pipe from his mouth and he said, "I can tell you this, son, I'm doing better than I deserve." Think about those words. An old man that had spent all of his years, was a faithful member of the Lord's church, but he sat on that old swing and every day. I think he was telling me that for two things. He was saying, "Yes, I'm doing better than I deserve, but I want you to understand, you may be 12, you may be 13 years old, but God's going to care for you too. And when you grow up, you can say you're doing better than you deserve, because we don't deserve what Jesus Christ did for us. We don't deserve it. We can't repay that debt that he paid for us." I want to quickly move in the time that we have left. I want you to go to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. And I think these are the most important parts of the abundant life that I hope that we're sharing. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, the Apostle Paul said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who gives us every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ." Now we're down to the good part. Now we're down to the abundance that's going to live forever and ever and going to take me where I want to be to spend all eternity with my God. You hear what he said? "Thanks be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." We just spoke about he's going to clothe us, he's going to feed us, he's going to take care of us physically. But now he said he gives us every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. When you make that list tonight, name your spiritual blessings. I want to give you just a moment to think on those. If you had a notepad and a pen right now, and you were asked to write down five spiritual blessings that you've received from God that you're thankful for and that will never go away, could you do it? Have you thanked him for the things that he's given us from the spiritual side? You see, physically, this old body's going to leave this earth. This body's going to be changed in the moment of twinkling in an eye. This corruptible body is going to put on incorruption. This mortal body is going to put on immortality. And I'm going to go, as we said this morning, we're going to be like Christ when we see him as he is. Think about the spiritual blessings. Number one, the greatest spiritual blessing we have is God our Father. He created the whole universe. He created us, as we spoke about this morning. He loved us enough to send Jesus Christ to die on the cross. In Matthew chapter 11, Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden." Think about that blessing. If you're worn out, if you're heavy laden, if you're struggling, Jesus said, "Come unto me." What an invitation to say, "I'm blessed in such a way that no matter what I reach, what depth I go to," Jesus opens that invitation to say, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden." You see, he made it specific to say, "Come unto me when you're troubled. Come unto me when you feel like some of those blessings have left you and things aren't going exactly like you want it. They're not going exactly as you hoped they would. Come unto me." Jesus Christ and God the Father are a great spiritual blessing, as Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 said. Another spiritual blessing that we have is the Word. Think about that. John 8:32 said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." John 17:17, "Sanctify them by thy truth. Thy word is truth." I want to tell you, brethren, in a conversation today, we discussed the fact that every time you drive down the road now, sadly, when you see a sign or you see a marquee that says the Church of Christ meets here, when you walk into that door and you worship in many places today, you've got to make sure that it's truly the Lord's church that's worshiping there. Sad to say, but even though we have the word that those holy men wrote as they were guided by the Spirit, we know it's inspired by God, but today many people, even inside the brotherhood, have turned from the word. They preach things such as baptism is not essential to salvation. Oh, it's okay with me. I like the a cappella singing, but if you rolled an organ or a piano up front, you used that, it really wouldn't trouble me. I've been told instrumental music is not a salvation issue, you see. One of the greatest spiritual blessings that we have is the Word. John chapter 1 tells us that. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was with God. Later on it says that He became flesh and He dwelt among us. But I want to tell you, I think today more so than ever, we have to rightly divide the Word. When Paul spoke with the Ephesian elders, when he told them that this is the last time you're going to see me face to face, you remember what he told them? He guided those elders to shepherd the flock. He said, because when I'm gone, I want you to hear what he described. He said, savage wolves are going to come in. They're going to be teaching things that are not right. As Paul wrote to Timothy, he told him all the things that were going to begin to happen, and we see them today, children being disobedient to parents. We see people that are concerned more about pleasing men than pleasing God. We need to realize that one of the greatest spiritual blessings we have is this word. We also need to understand we can't add to it, we can't take from it, and we must walk daily led by those things that are given us in this word. I remember when Norman and Peggy came to DeKalb to work with us, made me nervous to preach with Norman in the crowd. I'll just tell you straight up. When you're looking back there and you see someone in the audience that you say, well, John 8:32, and that person's sitting down there silently quoting that scripture, you're thinking, man, can't mess up here. But I went to Norman one day, and I told him, kind of makes me nervous to get before a crowd sometime. I hadn't been doing this too long. I'm afraid that I may say something wrong. I'm afraid that everything may not come out just right. I don't have all of that training, maybe. And I'll never forget, in the back of that building in DeKalb, Texas, Norman Hooten looked me in the eye and he said, let me tell you something, buddy. He said, as long as you stay in the book, you've got nothing to worry about. I'll never forget that. Coming from a preacher like that, one that I respected and one that helped me, but he said, as long as you stay in this book, I may have told you before, but I was holding a gospel meeting in Kirby, Arkansas, and one of their elders has been preaching for over 50 years. And I went to him with the same thing. I said, you know, I hope everything goes well this week. Pray for me. I don't want to stumble around. I don't want to say something I shouldn't say. I said, you know, I've never been to preaching school. Never had that formal training. I've been blessed that some people over there in DeKalb let me do this. I'll never forget Brother Billy Golden. Reached down on his pew and he said, well, I'm about to send you to preacher school. And he took his Bible and he handed it to me. He said, now you've got the curriculum. I want you to think about that. Two great gospel preachers that I respected and that I went to looking for help, what they told me was this: get in the book, stay in the book, and don't leave it. And that's what we've got to do today. That's a great spiritual blessing that we have, the word. Another spiritual blessing that we enjoy is the local congregation, the Lord's church throughout the world, but the local congregation you worship in. We hit this briefly this morning, you know, and it was on the screen tonight. Online services are good. If there are people that can't physically attend worship or there are people that can't get out, It's good that we offer that, but I want to tell you, those cannot take the place of assembling together and worshiping our God face to face with one another and following what we're told in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. Not forsaking the assembling together of ourselves as the manner of some is. I don't know how many are left in the crowd that still work. Mason, Coach Thomas, I'll go on back down the road. A lot of people are going to work tomorrow. How many people do you work with that are members of the Lord's church that share the same things you do? That's why it's such a blessing on Sunday morning, Sunday evening, and Wednesday evening to have the opportunity to assemble with people of like mind. That's why the Lord's church is so relevant and so important to us, is because it allows us to assemble together. It gives us that fellowship. It gives us that teaching together. And it gives us that abundant life where we're spending time here on this earth with the very folks we're going to spend time with in heaven. Our brethren, as I said, physically and spiritually, brethren are such a great blessing. I'm going to tell you just a little word of encouragement. Just a smile to someone. Isn't it good, men, to shake hands again? I saw a guy at a track meet the other day. I went to Atlanta to the area track meet, and I saw a man I hadn't seen in about 5 or 6 years, and I walked up, and I was going to fist bump him. He said, "Oh, no. You're going to shake my hand, you're going to hug me." Isn't it great that we can be back to that? Isn't it great that you can shake the hand of a brother or a sister and know that through God's word and your obedience to it, you have something in common? Fellowship, what a spiritual blessing it is. You saw that this morning. I won't belabor that point, but just to see people enjoying once again, just eating a meal together, talking with one another, learning more about each other. The next spiritual blessing, and I'm going to spend just a moment, and I promise you we're winding down. As I visited with James Posey's wife on the telephone right before I came, and she described everything to me that was going on in Dallas, and I had sent her a text today. I told her that we put James on the prayer list here and that the people in New Boston are praying for him also. She said, "I'll tell you something that I already knew, but I found out even more so now. Prayer works." If you're living the abundant life that Jesus Christ wants you to live, I'll promise you, you have a fervent, consistent, profitable prayer life, and you're talking to your God every day. What a blessing we have. Prayer works. Another spiritual blessing is forgiveness. Isn't it great to know that I can stumble, I can fall, I can do things that aren't right with my God, and I can realize I've done that, but He tells me, if you recognize that and you repent of that sin and you turn from it and you ask Him to forgive you, He's faithful to forgive you when you fall short. If I expect the Lord to forgive me, I got to forgive others. Ephesians chapter 4 tells us that. Just as He forgave you, we're to forgive others. And finally, the spiritual blessing I'm looking forward to, and I told you this morning, as I grow older, my priorities do change. Things I think about do change. The greatest physical blessing we're going to enjoy is when we stand before our God and we hear Him say, "Well done, good and faithful servant, enter in to your rest." Have you thought about that? How beautiful it's going to be. Read Revelation chapter 21, verse 8, and paraphrasing, it says there's not going to be any more sorrow, there's not going to be any more tears, there's not going to be any more pain. There's not going to be any death, there's not going to be any of that, because He said all the former things, all the old things have been passed away, and it's revealed to John. It said, "Behold, all things have been made new." That's the day everything's going to be made new. You become a new creation when you're baptized into Christ. When all the pain, the sorrow, the tears, all the troubles of this old world, when we enter into heaven, all things are going to be made new. Now the question is this. There's no doubt. If you're a child of God and you're living obediently, that you're enjoying that abundant life. Are you giving God the glory that he deserves for you enjoying that life? Are you praising him for that? Are you thanking him each and every day for the smallest of blessings, the greatest of blessings, for everything you have? That's where we trip up sometimes, don't we? Man, I'm probably not the only one in here tonight that's taken something for granted. I never think about that when I leave my house in the morning on a trip I'm making with a group of preachers. I never think about that I may not come back. Do I take for granted that I'm always coming back? Do I take for granted that Sherry will always be there? Do I take for granted all these blessings that God gives me? I hope not. I pray that I don't, and I pray to him earnestly each day that he will help me to realize where they come from. All from a physical standpoint, I enjoy abundant life because I've got a wife, I've got a son, I've got a grandson just like y'all have. And I've got all those things he gives me, but I want to tell you, the saddest thing I can do is take everything God does for me and take it for granted. I mentioned this morning in Bible class that the Hebrew writer says that we've got to give the more earnest heed to the things that we read and know, because we've got to be careful lest we drift away. As we close, I want you to think about this. And I'm going to put it in this way, and not being derogatory to anyone or to anything, but it is scripture. I say many times at DeKalb, and the first time I said it, I got some looks. Many people we study with believe in the doctrine we call once saved, always saved. Well, if someone tells me they believe in that doctrine, I'm going to be quick to ask them if we can study and take my Bible and show to them the scripture that we better be careful. Now, here's what I want to say. And I want to say this with love. The Lord's church preaches book, chapter, and verse, and can stand on the fact that if you're not careful, you can fall from grace, your crown can be taken away from you. But I want to tell you, brethren, many times we live as if we believe in that doctrine. You may agree with that statement. You may disagree with that statement, but I want to tell you, if we're not careful, we take things for granted and we say, oh, I heard the word. I believed it. I repented of my sins. I confessed him publicly before man. I was immersed. I was baptized for the remission of my sins. Well, what about that living faithfully until the day you die? It says in Thessalonians that the Lord's going to return, and he's going to come in the clouds in flaming fire with his angels, and he's going to be taking vengeance on two group of people. Those who know not God and those who do not obey the gospel. And you see, the gospel goes deeper than baptism and being added to the church. Now comes that faithful living. Now comes that point in time when I say, until the day I die, I'm going to live for him. I'm going to enjoy the abundant life. And I'm going to do everything that he's commanded me to do. And I'm going to walk in the light as he is in the light and enjoy fellowship one with another. And tonight, as we prepare to sing our invitation song, I want to ask you, are you enjoying the abundant life? More importantly, what Kevin just led us in, when you leave this building tonight, can you say with 100% certainty that it is well with your soul? Whatever my life thou hast taught me to say, it is well. 1 John chapter 5, verse 13 says, these things I have written unto you that believe the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. You ever been asked, buddy, are you going to heaven? And we kind of stumble around sometimes and say, well, you can know. You know tonight where you stand with your God. If you're not enjoying the abundant life, he says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Don't leave here without being right with your God. And we stand in Kevin Reed's our invitation song.
I heard the voice of Jesus.